Good morning, everyone.
Good
We're going to
morning.
go ahead and get started. It's 10 o'clock, and you know how we are. We're going to start on time. Thank you all for coming today to our class. We have enjoyed our pathway classes that we have had so far. Have you all been enjoying the classes?
Yeah.
I have too. And you need to make sure you go back and listen to the ones that have been taught, not just our session. Every one of them that's being taught across our campus is being recorded, and so you can go back and listen to each of them. So make sure you do that. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for this time that you have given us to come together. I pray that you would just let there be an anointing in our class today. I pray that you will let there be anointing in every class taking place across our campus today, Lord. I pray that you would let us have ears to hear what you would have to say to the church today. Let us be responsible for what we hear and take it and do with what we can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So far, if you all have been in this session for every time we've had a class this time, we have had some great teachers. The first week, Brother Josh taught on how we can have transformation through the fruit of the Spirit, how to have the mind of Christ, how God's Spirit brings conviction, and how we need community over isolation. Amen to that. We need our community. You know, sometimes I hear people say, I just feel so lonely. I feel like I don't have anybody. And I think, oh, I am so thankful for my church family because I don't have to feel alone. I have you all, and I'm so thankful for that. So thank you. Last week, Sister Lisa talked about responding to failure, temptation, and weakness with honesty and hope. That's hard, but we can do it. Next week, Sister Angie will wrap up our summer sessions with cultivating humility, patience, love, and faithfulness. So just remember, you can go back and listen to all these. If you've missed one of these sessions, you can go back and pick it up as well as all of the others. Now, in order for this not to be a boring 45 minutes, I need class participation. You know, when you go to school, the teacher always says, we need you to participate. Well, I do, because when it comes to talking, you may think I'm a big talker. I'm really not, but except at home. But anyway, we're going to get through this with God's help, because this is something that has been laid on my heart, and I feel like we're going to deliver it in the name of Jesus today.
Right.
I have asked for a few people to read some scriptures, so when I just call for your scripture, if you would just read those for us. Our lesson is growing in integrity when no one is watching, and allowing God to shape the heart, not just behavior. What is integrity? Somebody have an answer?
It's a characteristic that is displayed when nobody's looking.
It's who you are when nobody sees you. That is integrity. Psalm 26, 1 through 3 says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So again, integrity. It's being the same person, whether you're in public or in private. It's not always what you see out of a person is not always who they are in private. So to me, to have integrity is to truly be who you are all the time. And that's one thing that I always tell people about my husband. I don't tell him to his face because I don't want him to get the big head. But I do tell people he is a man of integrity. What you see in him at church is what you get all the time. It doesn't matter where you are. He is who he is at all times. And if you know him, you know I'm telling the truth. He is what he is all the time. And to me, that is integrity. It's who you are when no one is watching. Integrity is not just doing right when eyes are on you. It is alignment. It is when your private life and your public life agree. It is when your yes is still yes when you're alone, and your no is still no in the unseen. Integrity removes the strain of performance because you are not trying to become something or someone. You already are it. You don't ever have to put on fakeness. You don't have to pretend to be someone when you are the same person all the time. You don't have to worry about, oh, I'm around this group of people, I need to be this way. Oh, I'm around this group of people, I can be this way. No, when you have integrity, you are the same all the time. Your heart is always the same. It's in the right place. Now, I want to tell a little story of something that happened to me one time that I feel like God allowed me to show who I really was. I decided to go back to college when I was 40, and I was never good at algebra in school, never. So I had to take algebra 1 and 2. And so when I went to the algebra class, the teacher recognized I was Christian. He would make little comments, you know, and he would always tell us stories. Oh, my grandma always took us to church growing up, and my grandma did this, and my grandma, and he did it almost every class. He wasn't a good teacher. He would say things like, he would show you how to work maybe one problem on the board, and he would say, for your homework, I want you to do all the odd questions. The answers are in the back of the book. If you need help, go to the math lab. Go to the math lab. That was his favorite thing, go to the math lab. Well, in the first semester, he passed me with a B. I don't know how, but he did. He liked me for some reason. And I just felt like it was because of me being a Christian. And so I thought, okay, he's not a good teacher, but I'm going to take him the second semester because I feel like he'll help me get through it. Well, it came down time for our day of finals. And, you know, when you take your finals, when you're finished with your test, you're free to leave. Well, I did what I could do. I had several I couldn't answer, and I just went up to his desk, and I laid my papers down. I said, I'm finished. I can't do any more. And he just kind of, he picked my paper up and laid it, and he picked it back to me, and he said, why don't you go back to your desk and just see if you can do a little bit more. I said, okay. So I went back and sat down. When I got back to my desk and looked, he had given me the answer sheet. When I saw it, I looked up at him. I got my book bag and walked up to my desk and laid my papers down. I said, I'm finished. And I started to turn around and walk out, and he said, you probably think I'm going to hell, don't you? I just kept on walking. But I felt like the Lord allowed me to show who I really was. Because in that moment, it could have really broken him. If I had taken that paper and answered all the questions, what would that have proved out of me? Nothing. Nothing. Now I have a question. Does anybody else have a story like that that you would like to share with us real quick? Anything that you feel like has been done or you were able to show that you are who you are?
Yeah, I've got one. And actually, not long ago, in our ministers meeting, pastor kind of shared the same type of story. But I talked to this customer about doing a job for him. I told him what I would do the price for. And when it was a couple weeks before I could get to it, I did the job. And then he was ready to pay. He thought I'd set a different amount, a higher amount. And I was in that time. I could have made extra money. And he was willing to give it, but I thought, no, that's not what I told him.
Right.
So I corrected the record and went on about my way.
Yes.
Did I lose money? Yeah, but I gained a whole lot more.
That's right. You that's gained right. somebody's trust.
True.
And that's, you know, that's so important for us to be who we say and who we act like we are. That's important. Okay. We're going to move on. Rooted in identity, not performance. Be known for who you are and not what talents you are able to perform. God is not interested in how good you can act in front of others. He is interested in who you are when you're alone and no one is watching. When integrity is present, relationships change everything. Because when you are truly in relationship, you're no longer led by rules. You are led by love. Rules say, what must I do? What do I have to do to get through this? Relationship says, what pleases the one I love? What can I do to please them? Not, what's expected out of me. It's what you want to please that other person. Integrity is when you adjust your heart to relationship over rules. When you have a relationship with someone, you're not just following the rules. You do what you do out of love, not just because someone says you have to or you must. Your desire becomes wanting to please the one you're in a relationship with. God is concerned with our heart before our actions. Again, there goes the performance. Anybody can perform and do well at it, but is it what pleases God? Okay, who has Proverbs 4:23?
That'd be me.
All right.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring of life.
Okay. God cares who we really are when no one else sees us. Integrity is a natural byproduct of a heart that has been shaped by God. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Building integrity in hidden moments. There are some small, unseen choices that help form your character. Integrity grows in private discipline, for one thing. What does that mean? That means how you spend your time, your habits, and focus is what you need to be disciplined in. How are you spending your time? Are you wasting your time? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you praying? Are you fasting? How do you actually spend your time? Not just when you're in a group, but when you're alone. What are you doing with your time? And your habits? Are there habits that you have that you could change to help you with your integrity? And what do you focus on? The next thing is thought life. What do you dwell on? What's in your thoughts? When you're alone, where do your thoughts go? You know, usually when you're alone, you're driving down the road, or when you're just sitting at home and you're alone, nobody's around talking. Your thoughts just, they can go in all kinds of weird directions. But where are your thoughts going? Are they godly? Are they integrity? Or are they something else? And your digital behavior, what you consume when you're alone. That can be so important. You know, you can be watching something and something pops up that you're not really wanting to see. Don't dwell on it. Get rid of it and go on. Move on. You don't rise to your public intentions. You fall to your private habits.
Ooh. Say that again.
You don't rise to your public intentions. You fall to your private habits. You may intend all day long to be godly, to be Christian and all that, but that doesn't mean that that's where you're going to go unless you practice that. You have to practice what you want to become. All right, the shaping of the heart. Our inner life is what matters the most. Behavior can be modified, but the heart must be transformed. We mentioned this a while ago. We can alter our behavior. We can act one way in front of people, and then when you're alone, you're a completely different person. That's not pleasing to God. With integrity, you are who you are at all times. So your behavior can be modified, but your heart, it has to be transformed. There is no pretending when it comes to the heart. We must surrender to God's authority to mold us. Who has Isaiah 64:8?
That would be I. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand.
God has created and formed every one of us. He created us and formed us into who he wanted us to be and who he created us to be. And it's up to us to keep that, to stay in alignment with his word, to be what he wants us to be. The verses throughout the Bible, there are several talks about he's the potter, we're the clay. We have to allow him to shape us, to mold us. And then, you know, once you, when you make pottery, you mold it, you shape it, it gets fired in a kiln, and then that's what it is. So it's up to us. When God creates us and molds us and makes us into who he wants us to be, it's up to us to stay there, to keep being what he's created us to be.
I was thinking back on the what you were talking about a minute ago about the thought life, and it kind of ties in with this as well. You know, you can't, you're right, you can't always control what comes in your mind. Stupid stuff, just where'd that come from, right? But what you can control is, as soon as you realize what you're thinking, stop it, change it, don't dwell on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Repent if you need to repent and move on.
That's right.
And so, yeah, he's shaping us, but it's really kind of up to us, too, to make sure we stay in that shape.
That's right. Yep. That's a little farther in our lesson. We're going to talk about that, too.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hidden thoughts, motives, and desires shape visible actions. In other words, what you consistently think about in private is becomes who you are. When you consistently think on the same things, that's who you are. That's why the word tells us everything that's good and holy and righteous, all the virtue, all the things, I don't remember everything in the verse. Think on these things. That's where we need to let our mind stay, is thinking on the things of God. Okay, who has Jeremiah 17:9?
I do. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Who can know it? Have you ever heard anybody say, or have you ever said it? Well, if I know my heart, we can't say that, honestly, because the Bible tells us we do not know it. It's desperately wicked. Therefore, it's up to us to train it where we want it to go, what we want it to do, what we want it to think of. Okay, I have a question. Would anybody like to share a brief story of how God has been shaping or has shaped your heart over time?
I got a quick one.
Okay.
You know, somebody we were staying with us, we were trying to help him, and then he always thought I had to respect him and never earn respect. And then he kept on poking at me and started yelling at me. Something in my head told me, hey, I'm not going to escalate things. I'm just going to keep it quiet and tell him I'm not going to talk to him, period. And that's not like me. Like, I was just shocked I didn't tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's how God can shape our hearts. The person that we used to be, we don't have to be anymore. Yeah. If we allow God to shape our heart and transform us into what he wants us to be. All right. Surrendering the heart, not just managing behavior. Behavior management is consistently asking God for Psalm 19 and 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I cannot tell you how many times I asked the Lord for that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, God, because, again, we can get off on rabbit trails and think stuff we shouldn't be thinking, go places we shouldn't be in our minds. And I pray that often. But sometimes we measure our worth by what we do, what we produce, or what we bring to the table. Titles, achievements, recognition, it can all feel like that's where our value comes from. But the truth is, some of the greatest value you carry isn't loud or flashy. It's in the little things. It's in your consistency, your kindness, your integrity when no one is watching. You may be able to perform all day long, but do you have integrity? Are you the same? When you walk away from that performance, are you still the same person? I don't think God is really concerned with how well we perform as much as he is as how well we keep our heart. It's in your consistency, your kindness, and your integrity when no one is watching. These things may not always get applause, but they are the foundation of trust, integrity, of relationships of impact. Don't overlook what makes you quietly invaluable. Here is something that I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else that is said today, I want you to remember this. Who you are will always matter more than what you do.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Who you are will always matter more than what you do. Our heart transformation. Who has Psalm 51:10?
I do.
Okay.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
How many times have you prayed that verse? I mean, over and over and over. Because I want God to create in me a clean heart. Because, again, back to the verse that says, our heart is deceitfully wicked. We have no idea how wicked we could be. But when we ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, we're going to be on the right path. Now, here's a question. What daily habit could help you develop a transformed heart? What daily habit could help you develop a transformed heart? Yes.
Prayer.
Prayer. Yes, that's a very important one. That's the first one on my list. Somebody else?
Bible.
Reading the Bible. Yes.
Forgiveness.
Ooh. That's not even on my list, but that's such a good one. We have to forgive. We have to. If we don't, our heart's never going to be right. What about accountability? And what about confession? We've got to confess the things.
Meditation, thinking about it. Just letting
yes.
the Lord, giving time for God to just speak to your heart.
Right.
Shut up. Repentance. And just listen.
Repentance. Yes. Yeah. Anybody else?
I would say consistency in it.
Yes. Yes.
That meditation, to me personally, is a key thing in my life. I tell people I have windshield time. So when I'm driving and have that windshield time, I spend time with God. I try to. It's been probably a month ago, so now, and it wasn't anything special. It wasn't a special day. I wasn't having any problems. It was just a normal day for me. And I began to pray. And as I was praying, it was just like God just went whoosh in my car. And it was just like God took his arms and wrapped around me. And God and I, and I did what Brother Damesworth refers to as ugly crying. I was ugly crying. I mean, I was just, it was like it was, but it came from just me thinking about the Lord. And I'm sure I've had similar experiences like that before, but I've never had that amount of the presence of God just be right there. And like God just said, okay, everything else in the world is stopped for me. And I'm right there with you right now. And I appreciate that so very much. I really do.
And, you know, I feel like there are times that I feel like, God, I need you to stop what you're doing right now and give me attention. I need this right now, whether it's peace of mind, whatever, help figuring out something. And God will always, always show up on the scene. Always. Did somebody else? Okay.
Along with what Sister Penn said, that consistency is just continuous. Like when you pray, it's not just that time in the morning that God is not siloed.
Right.
That time is like throughout the day. What Brother Johnson was saying was, praying throughout the day and just meditating on that verse you read that morning. Maybe something caught your attention. Thinking about ways, looking for it. God, where can you work? Show me you today. Show me how I can serve you today. And those are things that are going to bring you integrity in those quiet, in those unseen times where you're
right.
taking someone's buggy back or whatever. Little things like that. That is God growing you throughout your daily life. Not just where we are, like you were saying, in public, but where are we, how are we in private? And God will shape you through those things, and you get to share who you are. It's, that doesn't have to be grand and majestic every time.
Right.
It's just being available to God, and that's what you're letting your heart be available to God. He's going to keep shaping you.
That's right. We were talking about what daily habit could help you, and here are some key habits, and we've talked about a couple of these already, but honest prayer. You know, you can pray, Lord, thank you for this day, give us this daily bread, you know, things like that, but what about honest prayer? God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where you're taking me today. I don't know what this day looks like. Help. Help. I heard a message Brother Raymond Woodward taught one time. Well, actually, it was a series of lessons, and it was on the Lord's Prayer. But he spent 7 weeks preaching just or teaching just on the Lord's Prayer. But one of them, he said, you know what? One of the most important prayers you can pray is help. Help. That's all it takes. You know what? God's going to show up. If that's the only word, I mean, there have been times I have been so broken. I didn't have words to pray, but I could just say, God, he's there. He's right there. So it's daily habits that we do, honest prayer. Now, what about confession without excuse? You know, you can have excuses all the time. Well, but it was this. This is the reason. If it hadn't been for this, but you know what? When it comes to confessing to God, he already knows anyway. So just tell him the truth. God, this is, I messed up. This is it. I just did not do the right thing. Confession without excuse.
You can't be honest with yourself. How can you be honest with anybody?
That's right. That's right. And God already knows anyway. All right. Ask God to reshape your desires. Who has Psalm 86:11?
I do. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
Again, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. I will walk in thy truth. All right. Now, aligning your actions with convictions. Identify core values rooted in faith. Let your actions reflect what you believe the Bible says. Don't let your actions reflect just how you're feeling in the moment. How do you feel? What does the Bible say about that? What, I don't always stop and think before I speak. No comment. But, you know, you can just, you just say things, pop it off. But let your actions reflect what you believe the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? Then do what it says. Close the gap between belief and behavior. Again, let your behavior align with what you believe is true. Practice consistency in small things. Think of things you would like to change about yourself and consistently work toward being the person you wish you were. Have you ever thought, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be more kind. I wish I could be this. I wish I could be that. If you think those things, you can be with prayer and consistency. Think about the things you want to change and then consistently work toward being that person you wish you were. I have heard, now I don't know how true it is, but I've heard that if you do something 21 days in a row, it becomes a habit. If you want something good to be in your life, if you want things to change in your life, consistently, every day, do it with intention. God, this is what I'm doing today because this is what I want it to be. We'll see if it works. Now, here's an exercise for you to do at home. Write down 3 convictions and track if your daily action reflects them. Write down 3 things that you wish you could be, you wish you could do, you would like to do, and then consistently work on them to become that person that you want to be. Now, embracing conviction without shame. Conviction is an invitation to grow. Conviction is not condemnation. You know, you may think, oh, I did this. I feel so condemned over this. You may feel condemned, but that condemnation did not come from God. God will allow you to feel conviction, but he will not send condemnation. That's man. That's how you feel about yourself. Shame is distortion that leads to hiding. If you are doing things that you think do not line up to the word of God, it will cause you to feel shame. But I don't think God uses shame on us. I don't think he would ever be like, shame on you. You should not have done that. You will be allowed to feel conviction, and then you can work toward being better or doing different. But I don't think you're going to feel shame. God does not condemn. He allows conviction to restore. And then there's a response pattern. When you realize there are things in your heart that aren't pleasing to God, here are some things I told Brother Bowman he was talking about. I said, we're going to come to some of these. Number one, acknowledge it honestly. In other words, repent. If there's something that you feel like is not right in your life, repent. And you know what that means? Saying, God, I'm sorry. That's what repentance is. I'm sorry. But then the second step is turn around quickly. Don't stay there. Once you repent of it, don't stay there. Turn around. Make up your mind that this is no longer going to be your lifestyle. Then next, receive grace. Accept the fact that Jesus forgives when you ask, and he gives grace. Then adjust your direction. Again, don't stay there. Turn around. Turn around from where you were. Ask God to order your steps in his word, and then walk in the path that he has for you. It's that simple. And you may think, well, it's not really simple. You didn't do what I did. Well, no, maybe not. But there are things that I have done that I had to repent over, but I couldn't stay there. I had to repent and move on. Repent, acknowledge it, receive grace, and then adjust your direction. Go the other way. Don't go back to that again. All right, practicing spiritual disciplines that shape the heart. Who has Proverbs 4:23? Anybody? Okay. That says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Wow. Keep your heart with all diligence. It's not performance tools. It's formation tools. Here are some examples. Silence and solitude. This is what Brother Bowman was talking about a while ago. This exposes your true inner self. When you take time to sit in silence and think on these things, then you can see things that you wouldn't in your normal daily life, just going from one thing to another on your job. I know we get busy and just you go, 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 go. But when you take time specifically, just say, Lord, this is me right now. This is my quiet time. It's me and you. That will expose your true inner self. Then scripture meditation. That helps reshape your thinking. And scripture memorization. There is a song, you all have probably heard it on the radio, especially if you listen to WCQR. It says, write scriptures on your heart for when you need it. Anxiety hates Psalm 23. So say it to yourself till you believe it. Wow, isn't that powerful? Know the word and say it to yourself. Speak it when you find yourself in these situations, anxious, depressed, you know, you feel like you can't overcome something. That's when you recall the scripture that you have memorized. But you have to memorize them in the first place to be able to recall them. That's an important thing. And then prayer. When you have honest prayer with God, that aligns your desires. It takes away things of the world, and it makes your desires to be God's desires, what he wants for you. But again, you've got to know the scripture and then pray. And then fasting. If you love to fast, raise your hand. No hands. No, because when you fast, it reveals attachments. The things I have, I like them. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying it's anything bad, but, you know, I could do a little less Diet Dr. Pepper every day. But it's attachments. It's things we love. But there is one way to get rid of it, and that's fasting. If you have things in your life that you feel like, oh, I wish I didn't do that, I wish I could get over that, try fasting. And then while you're fasting, be in earnest prayer to God and be honest. That's where that honest confession comes in. God, I can't do this without you. And I am giving you this day of fasting or this meal of fasting or this online stuff. I'm giving you this day to do without because I need to hear from you. I need answers from you. And it works. Becoming whole over time. Integrity is formed gradually, not instantly. It is not instant. It's something you have to work on. Growth involves setbacks, but direction matters more than perfection. Let's say that again. Growth involves setbacks, but direction matters more than perfection. We're not trying to be perfect. The Word of God tells us no man is perfect. God's the only one that's perfect, but we have to be striving for perfection. That's what we want in our lives every day. We want to strive to be perfect, to be more like Him. But it's about our direction that matters more than being perfect. Faithfulness in private leads to strength in private. And here is a principle for you to remember. You don't rise to your public intentions. You fall to your private habits. Remember, and this is what I told you a while ago, if you don't remember anything else that is said today, who you are will always matter more than what you do. Stay steady, stay faithful, because that kind of value never, ever, ever goes unnoticed. When you are steady, when you are faithful to the house of God, to the Word of God, it doesn't go unnoticed. Now, here's our conclusion for today. How are we on our time? Oh, we did pretty good. Pretty good. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you can be confident in this very thing, that he that has begun a work in you will do a good work in you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a question for you to ask yourself a little later when you can think about it and study on it. If God were to provide clarity today, what is one thing you'd want him to change in you? Again, this goes back to the question, how can you become what you wish you could be? Asking God to give you clarity to see what it is that he wants you to be. Now, here is a prayer that you can say daily to help keep you on this path. And it's on your paper. Lord, shape my heart, not just my actions. Make me honest before you in all things. Does anyone have anything they want to say? Anything you'd want to add to this? Yes, Sister Angie.
We have one of the honest prayer and everything. And kind of your intentions of who you want to be. I think that's, it was along with, you know, when you tell God, when you're honest with God, he wants to see your weakness. When you acknowledge your weakness, in our weakness, he is made strong.
Right.
He can work through those weaknesses. He can strengthen you in those ways. It's not that it's a fault that I can't do this, or I don't pray enough, or I have a hard time reading my Bible. He sees you, like you said, he knows everything. But if we will acknowledge it or speak it out loud when we're saying it, then God's like, okay, now I can do something with that. But if we're kind of trying to keep it a secret,
right,
keep it a secret from God. But if we're honest, those honest prayers with God, I'm failing in this area, I just can't make it past this. I've tried fasting, I've tried this, and maybe let God work on that weakness. Don't I know we're afraid of like being failures or saying our faults to our spouses or people around us. We don't like looking weak. God wants us to be weak in His presence so He can work on it.
The Word says when we're weak, He is made strong. So it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt His feelings for us to say, God, I failed. I flopped again. He already knows it anyway. But when we acknowledge it, then we can work on it and allow Him to work on us.
So we're talking about being who you are, right? And I think there's a distinction that really needs to be made. If God's not your number one focus, it's not hard being who you are, because we said it earlier, the heart's desperately wicked. And if God's not your main focus, it's easy to be a person that you want to be. But if you want to be, and if you are God-focused person, it takes work.
It does.
It's not easy.
That's
it's
right.
Not, it's just don't come natural. It's actually not natural, really.
Right.
And it takes a lot of work to get you there to be that person that you want to be. So it's not an easy road.
That's true.
It's not.
That's true. But it's doable. That's right. It's a road worth traveling. Anybody else? Yes.
2 Corinthians talks about capturing our thoughts. Every sin starts with just one thought and dwelling on that one thought. And if you think about it, I was thinking, if you capture a thought, it means you keep it, right? But not biblically. It means you have the option, if you capture that thought, to do with it what you want.
Right.
So when a thought comes into our head, because it's been mentioned several times, God gives us the ability to do with it what we choose, because we have the choice, but we have the power to overcome any thought that comes. That's
right.
Why it says to capture it. And biblically, if they would capture an enemy, we all kind of know the result of that. So if we have God in us, and we listen to His wisdom, and we listen to the obedience, and that's what that scripture says, into the obedience of God, then we know that that thought that just came in out of left field that we would have never thought in a million years, and you're like, why is that in my head? We know that we need to capture it and do away with it and move on. And if you start thinking that every sin starts with a thought, and you think, will this make me sin? Will this make me falter? Will this make me doubt God? Will this make my faith diminish in any way? Then what you do with that thought is up to you.
That's right.
True.
That's right. Right. We have free will. Anybody else? All right. I'm sorry.
Fasting, what does that cover?
I'm sorry.
Fasting, what does that all cover?
The fasting?
Yes.
We were talking about fasting to get rid of things in our lives.
Yeah, I read a verse in the Bible, like when you fast, it heals. Is that physical, mentally, or?
It could be. Yes.
There's no limit on what fasting can really produce in your life. It's all about surrender. And when you surrender, that's when God, the doors open up for God to just move in powerful ways. That's the purpose of fasting. It's all spiritual, and it can affect you mentally, spiritually, physically. It can affect all of that.
And fasting really is not about getting what you want. Fasting is about bringing you under subjection to the Spirit. It's about getting yourself right with God. Because when you are right, then you can pray for the things that you need to be done and see them done. It's not specifically, oh, I'm going to fast so somebody will be healed. That's not the reason you fast. You fast to bring yourself and your thoughts under subjection. Then you can pray the way you need to for that person to be healed. It's not that you're, okay, Lord, I fasted today, now heal them. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? We have got 1 minute.
It was a really great class. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yes.